We're going to continue looking through the book of Acts this week, and we're up to Acts chapter 4. So we've started off looking at Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where Jesus promised, "You'll receive power from on high, and you'll be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." We looked at the book of Pentecost, where they waited in a room just like this. 120 people waited in the upper room, waited for power from on high. Tongues of fire came upon them. They spoke in tongues and prophesied, and 3,000 were added to their number that day. Then they went out and they did miracles. Last week we looked at when Peter and John were walking past a man and he said, "Would you heal me?" And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And this guy started walking and leaping and praising God and told everyone that he'd been healed. And then Peter and John ended up getting beaten and wounded and interrogated and locked up in prison. And then we come to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail till the next day. But many had heard the message, believed, so the number of men grew fast to about 5,000. Imagine 120 disciples, all of a sudden 5,000 new Christians. Imagine the alpha courses they had to be running. Imagine the women's ministry and the men's ministry. Imagine well, they probably didn't have those things back then, actually, now that I think about it. What did they do? They just met in their homes day after day, opening the Word of God, discipling, listening to each other, telling everyone of what they saw. Because that's what a witness is, just saying what you saw. Just tell people what you saw. That's how you witness to people. You just tell people what Jesus has done in your life. So in Acts 4, verse 8, it then says this: Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke out and he said, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And I love it that regularly in their preaching, they would quote Old Testament verses. And we need in our preaching today, need to be quoting Bible verses regularly to confirm what we're doing. That's part of the pattern of our modern church today. And they said, "Jesus is the stone that you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone." And he said, verse 12, one of my favorite verses I love to preach when I share the gospel: "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we may be saved." It's not Muhammad. He's still in his tomb. It's not Buddha. He's still in his grave. It's not Confucius. It's not one of those Hindu gods. None of them can save you. Only the name of Jesus is the name by which men can be saved. And verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say. Can't argue with a miracle, can you? You can't argue when someone's been saved and healed before their very eyes. A couple of key words there. They noticed their courage. Friends, we must be a people who have courage and boldness. You look through the Word of God at the believers that had courage and boldness. Time and time again, we see the amazing men and women of God throughout the Scriptures. The dictionary defines boldness as this: not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger or rebuff. Courageous and daring. Where are the bold believers in Australia today? Where are the Joshuas, the Daniels? Where are the Davids, the Peters and the Pauls? Who will stand up with boldness in our nation? Billy Graham said this: courage is contagious. When a brave man takes a stand, the spines of others are often stiffened. Today, we're going to be teaching you how to pray for more boldness. Every one of us needs to be more bold and more have more courage. Look at Joshua in the book of Joshua. I think there's 8 or 9 times in the first few chapters of Joshua where God said to Joshua, be bold and courageous. I'm going to give you victory wherever you place your foot. Do not fear. I will be with you. We're in the prayer room this morning, and I was just saying, Lord, what do I preach on boldness? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? And there's a poster there with Joshua 1 verse 8. Be bold and courageous. Meditate on this book of the Lord day and night. Don't let its words depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything written in it. And I'll give you victory wherever you place your foot. I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And what did Joshua do? He took the promised land. What did Daniel do when he was with those lions? Did he chicken out and run off? No, he prayed. And thankfully, those lions did a Daniel fast. and he survived the night. Even though he was being persecuted for praying 3 times a day publicly, he was thrown into prison with these lions, probably hungry lions. But God was there. God sent his angels to close the mouth of the lions. He was bold. Queen Esther was bold when she stood before the king. David was bold when he fought Goliath as just a young man. He knew that it had been prophesied over him that he was going to be a king one day. And he was willing to take on this giant Goliath. Even though his brothers didn't believe he could do it. Even though King Saul didn't believe he could do it. Even though he said, I've killed the lion and the bear. I've sung my shepherd songs and trusted in God. I've been looking after sheep. I've been faithful in the small things. God's going to bless me in the greater things. And he slayed Goliath, cut his head off, held up his head and said, this is he who defied the armies of the living God. This is victory is in the name of the Lord. That's boldness when you look at King David. You look at Peter and Paul and James and John. You look at the apostles in the New Testament. They were bold believers. Oh, where are the bold believers in Jesus Christ today in Australia? Where are the ones who will stand up with the guts to preach the gospel? You know, yesterday I was a little bit fearful for my project I had on yesterday afternoon. I've got to be honest with you. You know, I'm 40 years old. I'm 100 kilos. I'm a force to be reckoned with. Look at these guns, you know. I don't get too scared about too many things, you know. But yesterday I was placed in a situation where it wasn't as bad as the believers in China, but it was a little bit of persecution. And you know what? It really woke me up. I was the MC for the Rally for Life outside the Treasury Casino in Edward Street in the city yesterday. There was about 200 or 300 Christians there. We had some worship music and we had a Victorian Liberal MP speaking about pro-life. We had a lady who was sharing that she was told that her baby was going to have Down syndrome and the doctors told her to kill the baby because she was going to have a Down syndrome kid and it was going to be a horrible kid and she shouldn't raise that kid. And she said to that doctor, I am not killing my child because every life is precious to the Lord God Almighty. And she shared her story yesterday in front of this crowd of 200 people. She was bold and courageous, I tell you. Anyway, there was about 20 or 30 protesters up the back. They all were like young uni students with dyed hair. And they had these signs up saying, Jesus is pro-choice. And what a load of rubbish. Jesus values every precious life, you know. They had signs up like, get your rosaries away from my ovaries. Like, it was quite a clever sign, I thought, you know, because Catholics are very pro-life and they were obviously having a go at the, you know. They had these signs, and then some of them had swear words on their signs and, you know, bleep, bleep, bleep to you, pro-lifers, all this kind of thing. And so as the first speaker got up to speak, I'd emceed, and they just told me, just talk really loud, because they had a loud speaker as well, and they were chanting, you know, pro-choice, pro-choice, you know, bunch of losers, what, you know, they were actually really mocking. They were really mocking, because that's what the devil does. He just mocks. He just tries to, you know, be, you know, anyway. And so I'm standing there, okay, well, and I said, all right, we're going to be bold. We're going to pray. So we prayed over the loudspeaker, Teresa and myself, who were, Teresa's the organizer. We prayed. And you know what? They just calmed right down. Just were quiet and they calmed right down. And Teresa had a word for them. She said, I just want to say, for all you guys protesting up the back, good on you for being passionate about what you believe. Because many people in Australia don't care about anything anymore. They're apathetic and lukewarm. They don't care about anything. There's only 200 or 300 Christians that turned up for this pro-life rally today. We should have the whole church here standing up for life. But good on you for believing in something. Even though we disagree with what you believe, at least you believe in something. And she said, and I know that you guys, many of you are actually wounded and hurt. And that's why you're here protesting today. And we're going to pray for God to heal you and for Jesus to come to you and to show you real life, real love. And they were all standing there. And anyway, so getting to my bit of fear. So anyway, while the speaker was on, after we'd done all that, I went down to get some photos of the crowd. Some of you may have seen on my Facebook. There was this gorgeous little... Interesting, the pro-lifers, they're all like homeschooled kids. There's like 8 kids all sitting there with little baby pro-life signs and these mums and dads dressed like they're from the 70s. I love it. They're awesome, you know. And they're all there and they're all there for this pro-life rally. And anyway, so I'm taking the photos of these kids and the protesters are over there and they could see me and I could see them. And I'm thinking, oh, I want to go up, but oh, what if, you know, what if they run, you know, what if they rush me, you know, and I've just been up at the stage, you know. Anyway, so I went up a little bit closer, probably to about here to Cecily, and I just took a quick photo of them there and bless you guys, you know, and then they started chanting again. I'm like, I just want to, anyway, but after the rally finished, I went down and mingled and talked to a few people that listened to Vision Radio and chatted to a few politicians and all that, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to go up and talk. I want to go, you know. So I went up and I just had a chat to some of them. I said, hey, guys, my name's Matt. I work for a radio station, a Christian radio station. We do a lot of talk back. Why don't you ring me up this week and let's have a talk about what you believe on the radio. We'd love to talk, you know, because we have a lot of Christians that listen and, you know, we can have a regional, rational debate about what you guys believe. I'd love, you know. And they went, really? Okay. Well, would you put us on the air? And I said, I'd pre-record it, but I'd be more than happy to put you on and have a little chat with you. Absolutely, you know. And I just felt I had to build a bridge with these guys to show them that we weren't the big loud Christians that are throwing Bibles at them and judging them, you know, to show them that we wanted to connect with them. And it turned into quite a nice conversation. I asked them about what uni they go to and asked them a little bit about where they grew up in Brisbane. And they saw that I was a real person, you know. And it's funny because I had this fear that they were going to, you know, rush me or something. I don't know why. But it's funny, the devil says, don't go up and do that, you know. Don't build a bridge and shake their hand. Don't go up, because the devil tries to make you feel like you're going to be under attack or you're going to be, you know, you're going to fail. But what does the word of God promise? He will give us, the Holy Spirit will give us the right words to say. The Holy Spirit will give us the courage and the boldness and the bravery. The Holy Spirit will guide us and lead us. God will never leave us or forsake us. We see it time and time through the book of Acts. They went out into enemy territory, hostile territory, and God gave them the keys to reach their community. God gave them words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophecies, miracles happen, things, convincing proofs of the gospel that you can't argue with. And thousands came to Christ. Oh, that we had the same boldness as the believers in the book of Acts. Let's have a look at some of these verses in the scriptures about boldness today. We're going to move on to Acts, the last bit in Acts 4, 8 to 14. The last bit there, it says, this is the prayer that we're focusing on today. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Let me just stop there. That word, enable. Does anybody here want to be enabled to be bold? You know, I can remember when I started out selling radio advertising, I had a great boss that believed in me, and he would coach me in how to go and meet a client, how to talk to them about their advertising, how to write a radio ad, how to come up with a good campaign, how to look at their budget. And I started at that radio station as the rookie, the young 20-year-old kid who had no idea what to do. And after 18 months, I became the number one sales rep, earning about $80,000 a year in advertising commissions. And the most successful radio rep in that place, because I had a boss who believed in me and he enabled me. He took me out, he showed me how he would go and talk to a client, and he showed me what to do. And this is what we need in the church today. We don't just need preachers who teach and tell you what to do, but preachers who get down with the people and go and do the same stuff. That's why I love doing our soup kitchen. That's why I love getting out and doing the stuff in the community. I love getting out because I've got to lead by example. Amen? You'd all think I'm a hypocrite if I just preached here on a Sunday and then sat at home all week and played video games and watched the TV or whatever, you know. I've actually got to do the stuff and set an example. This is what my boss did for me. He enabled me to be successful in my career. And through that, I had a very successful sales career for many years. And it was perfect training to be a pastor because you learn how to deal with people and problems and rejection and money and budgets and you know, how to have social skills and how to run an organization, all these things. You know, it was great training that I could appropriate to the work of the kingdom. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus wants to enable you to do the work of the kingdom. We don't have a God that is just sitting in heaven who can't connect and understand and doesn't know what we're going through. We have a God who sent his one and only Son to this earth for 33 years, who did the stuff that he now wants us to do. We have a Son that was persecuted, that was rejected, that probably had fears, that probably had worries come against him. But what did he do? He went out and he walked on the water. He turned the water into wine. He healed the sick. He cast out the demon. He raised up disciples. He did the stuff. We have a God who knows what it's like to go and do the stuff in the community. And he wants to enable us to be bold. He wants to enable us to be like his Son. The Holy Spirit's job is to glorify the Father and to turn us into the image of Christ. This is the prayer. Now, if you forget everything I've said this week, everything I've said in the sermon today, and I've said some pretty awesome stuff already, but this is the one thing I want you to remember. During this week, I want you to pray this prayer like you're a madman, like you're a madwoman. For some of you, it won't be that hard. You're a bit mad already, I know. Mad means make a difference, by the way, M-A-D. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not, you know, insulting you. Pray this like a crazy person all week. Lord, consider their threats. Enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Just pray that prayer. God, enable me to speak your word with great boldness. Let me tell you, it's a prayer I've prayed since I was 15 years old, since I was first born again. I've asked God for boldness regularly. And then this next bit, if you're really crazy, you'll pray this bit too. If you're literally dead, like Carol said, the goal of a Christian is to die to ourselves. If you literally want to die to yourself and be absolutely stark, raving, lunatic, crazy, this is the next bit you'll pray. You'll start with, God, enable me to speak your word with great boldness. And then you'll pray this, God, stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if you start seeing healings and signs and wonders in your life will be messed up. I'm serious. You won't want to do anything else but to see more miracles. I was sharing last week, I've seen some miracles in my ministry over the years. I've seen some backs healed. I've seen some knees healed. I've seen some people cast demons out. I've seen little bits of it here and there, but I'm addicted to it. I just want it more and more. I've got my signs and wonders, evangelist miracles on all the time, wherever I go. Whenever I see someone in a wheelchair, I'm like, all right, that's my mission. Whenever I see someone who's troubled with demons, that's my mission. Wherever I go, I've just got my goggles on, ready. I'm telling you, if you start seeing these prayers answered, it'll wreck you for life. You'll just be addicted to it. You'll just want it. Does anyone really want it? It'll mess you up. Do you want to get messed up? It'll mess you up. You've got to be crazy to want this stuff because it doesn't make sense. Your family, your non-Christian workmates, your relatives that aren't Christian, they'll think you're bonkers. My family all think I'm crazy, not just because I left New South Wales and moved to Queensland and support the Maroons. They think I'm crazy because I'm doing this. They think, what's he wasted his time for doing that stuff? I'm telling you what, this is the stuff that we're meant to do. I was talking to a guy recently who was telling me that he just likes to drink alcohol, and he said to me, the only time he feels normal is when he's drunk. And it just broke my heart. And I asked the Lord, what should I say to this bloke? And I said, the only time I feel normal is when I'm praying and I'm doing the Jesus stuff that I'm meant to do. That's the normal Christian life. That's the way we're meant to live. And if you're not seeing it in your life, the first thing you got to do is ask for it. You've just got to ask. Then you've actually got to be bold. You've actually got to step out of the boat. You've actually got to be a bit crazy and willing to do something a little bit crazy. Carol's told me a few stories recently where the Lord has led her to go and speak to someone. We were at a pool up at Caloundra on our holidays, relaxing, living it up, you know, having our 2 months long service leave after, you know, 9 years of ministry. We were loving it. But time and time again, the Lord said, Matt, it's not all for you this break. I've got people for you to minister to as well. And that's what the Lord said to Carol in this pool. She saw this lady who had a disability, and she's thinking, oh, I just want to swim and enjoy this and have fun with my kids. We're meant to be having a break, you know. But the Lord just said, just go and speak to this lady. And she's gone and spoken to her and offered to pray for her, and she started speaking into her life. Meantime, I'm doing the same thing with a husband at the other end of the pool. We're undercover agents. God just sent us in, you know. Copy that. Eagle One has landed, you know. We've just gone in and, you know, because that's the thing. We're actually undercover agents for Jesus. And you can be undercover or not undercover. It doesn't matter. Just be an agent. Just be bold. Just go up and start speaking to someone. Offer to pray. Cast out that demon. Heal that sick person. Have your radar on ready for wherever God is leading you. So this is the prayer I want you to pray. You're going to have to repeat this now after me, okay? I'm going to just do the whole verse. You can reword it however you want. Maybe you want to do the Message version or the Message version. Change it however you want. But you get the gist of it, okay? Let's read this together. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. Now, I want you to write that down on the neck of the person in front of you so you can memorize it through the whole service. Put it down on your iPhone, on your notes. Take a photo of the screen, whatever you've got to do. I'm going to take a photo right now. I'm going to put this on my Instagram and my Twitter and my Facebook so that I'm... Hey, can you go back to the... Okay, I'm going to take a photo. I'm going to put this on my Instagram, my Twitter and my Facebook. I'm going to tell everyone, print it out, make it... Oh, that's the wrong one. Can we go... Come on. Martha, that's the right one. Okay. Is that the right one? Okay, here we go. Sorry, I better get the right one. Good thing you guys are onto me. Stick it up on your toilet door. Tattoo it to the inside of your eyelids. Whatever you need to do. Just remember this and pray it. Pray it in faith. Now, I actually believe that there are times in our life, there's a time and a season for everything, right? Ecclesiastes says there's a time to live, a time to die, a time for peace, a time for war, a time for this, you know. I believe the word of the Lord for our church is that we are coming into a time, a season of revival. There's been dreams, there's been prophetic words, there's been a stirring, okay? We've got to grab hold of it. We can't sit comfortably in the pews and go, oh, that's good, Pastor Matt's going for it, that's awesome, you know. Oh, that's good that Colin and Sharon are going for it. Good on them. You know, it's good that Cecily, yeah, that's good, you know. Don't leave it up to a few. Revival is when there's a sovereign move of God across a people. And it's where, like in a jetty, when the tide rises, all the boats go up with it, don't they? We're going to pray that the tide will rise in this church. The prayer will rise in this church. The worship will rise in this church, that we will pray crazy things like this, and we will pray and we will ask for boldness. We will ask for God to stretch out his hand and he'll perform and perform signs and wonders in the name of the Holy Spirit. Every one of us in the name of Jesus will be praying this. And I believe that there are times when it's okay to repeat the same prayer over and over. There are times when it's not wise, okay? Now, Jesus had a go at the Pharisees, because they were the ones that stood on the street corners and said, oh, I'm so holy. Thank you, Lord. I'm so good. I'm going to quote this, and, you know. And they do it for a show. And they're hypocrites. And Jesus hated that religious, hypocritical kind of prayer. Don't pray it like that. Don't pray it and go, hey, how many times have you prayed that I've prayed at this time? You know, don't do it for a show. Get into your secret place, into the closet. Close the door. Get on your face before God and cry out, God, give me boldness. God, stretch out your hand and do signs and wonders and miracles. Use me, God. Do something amazing today. Take me up to the next level, God. I want to see revival in me and let it spread out to everyone around me. Get in your own zone with God and in that secret place and do it over and over and over again. In Luke 18, there's the parable of the persistent widow who kept on going to the judge saying, grant me justice, grant me justice. And the judge said, he granted her justice because she was going to wear him out with his persistence. There is a time and a season for persistent prayer. And I believe we are coming into that season right now, a season of persistent prayer. It's no coincidence that we're in the middle of our 40 days of prayer and fasting leading up to Easter. I'm believing that Easter is going to be the greatest harvest time that we will see in our nation for a long time. Many people come to church at Easter. I'm believing for a great Easter service here and across this nation. I was on the phone to Pastor Oscar yesterday. He's got four ladies that want to get baptized from Pindari Women's Shelter that have been coming along. And Nigel, I think, put his hand up the other day. He wants to get baptized too. That's five people that want to get baptized. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to have baptisms at Inaugural Pool, aren't we, Annie, after the service. So there's a leader's lunch next Sunday, and it's going to be after that. So so next Sunday, that's right, yeah. So anyone that wants to get baptized next week, I encourage it. No, 2 weeks' time it is. 22nd, okay, so 2 weeks' time. I believe we're going to see more baptisms, more salvations, more healing, more miracles, if we press in and pray this prayer boldly. Let's look at what the scriptures say about can we go to the next slide there? One more slide there. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting with was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. You know, I bought this DVD on the Book of Acts from Word Bookstore the other day. And I've been watching it as I've been preparing for these sermons. I just put it on in the background and try and picture what it was really like. You know, because when I preach the word of God, I don't just want to, you know, tell you the black and white of it. I want to tell you the story to so you can imagine it in your mind too. Anyway, and I found the video clip of this bit, and I was going to play it, but they really wussed out, I reckon, in this series. They were praying, and they go, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Oh, it's a shaking. Oh, there we go. Thank you. Let's go off and have a cup of tea. Like, it was like really just, you know, average shaking. I'm telling you, the place was shaking. I reckon, actually, there's a new TV series called AD, which is the follow-up to the Bible series and the Son of God movie that Roma Downey is producing. I interviewed her about it on the radio recently, and it's on TV at Easter in America. Hopefully, it'll be on TV in Australia, and it's all about the Book of Acts, and I reckon when they have it, they're going to have a powerful shaking. Let's believe for a great shaking, and let's believe that we will go and speak the Word of God boldly. Here's a few other verses about boldness. Psalm 138, verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Who wants to be bold with strength in their soul? Maybe that can be a prayer you can add to your prayer list as well. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as
bold as a lion.
The righteous are as come on. What's a lion do? Roar! He's the king of the jungle. He's not scared of nothing. He's got the eye of the tiger, hasn't he? He goes after his prey. He jumps on it, rips it apart, has it for dinner or breakfast or lunch or whatever he wants because he's the king of the jungle. Where are the bold believers that are like lions today? Where do the righteous are as bold as a lion? Ephesians 6:19. Now this one's for me. Allow me to be a little bit selfish every now and then as your senior pastor. Pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for the Jews and the Gentiles alike. If you have a problem with my preaching, it's your fault. You should be praying for me. That I am more bold. Don't go and find another church down the road that's got a better preacher. There's plenty of them out there. If you want to go and find some, I know them. I'm friends with them. There are lots of better preachers than me. Try and fix the one you got. pray for me to be bolder, amen? Come on. If it's good enough for Paul to ask the church in Ephesus, it's good enough for me to ask you. Pray for me, please. I need your prayers. I love that quote from John Wimber. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is I'm going to pray for you. The bad news is you're going to need it. We need to be a people of prayer. We need to be praying for our leaders. We need to be praying for Christine, who preaches here every second Wednesday night. We had an amazing night on Wednesday night, a great word on Wednesday night. Come along and be a part of those. Pastor Oscar is running his discipleship group starting this Wednesday night, every fortnight as well. He's got about 8 or 9 people coming along. Pray for our leaders. Pray for my wife. Pray for Annie. Pray for Pastor Brad. Pastor Brad's actually had a viral infection in his chest for 3 weeks now. He came to the Working Bee yesterday, and I sent him home. I said, what are you doing here? You need to be resting, you know. We need to be praying for our leaders because they come under attack. Let's pray for Brad right now. I promised him we would. Father, we just pray for Pastor Brad. Thank you for his amazing gifts that he brings to the church. He fills in so many gaps, and he's so gifted, and he's grown so much over the years. Father, bless him and heal him today, we pray. A miraculous healing. We speak to that infection, and we tell it to go in the name of Jesus, that he will rise up and be healed 100% with divine health and healing. In Jesus' name, amen. I need to pray bold prayers. I'm going to close in a few minutes, but I just want to share with you an amazing moment that I had during the week. Christine shared about it on Wednesday night. I shared about it on the radio as well. Did anyone see Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech before the US Congress? Some of you did. It was an amazing time for the Prime Minister of Israel, who Christine was sharing. He is a prophet speaking to a king, speaking to Obama. He's a modern-day prophet speaking up for the land of Israel. And he stood up there, and there was all this controversy about it. There was all this, you know, questioning about, you know, and some Democrat senators fobbed him off and didn't turn up. Some people turned their back to him, but he stood up for the truth this week in front of the US Congress. And this is some end times prophecy before our very eyes, I believe, seeing him get up and speak this. Interesting that he spoke it just at the time of Purim, which is a time where the Israelite people, so the people of Israel have a special time dedicated for Purim. And it was likened to Queen Esther when she stood before the king. And it's interesting that, you know, in Iran, that's the same place where they were trying to wipe out the Jews in Queen Esther's time. And right now they're trying to wipe, you know, if Iran gets armed with nuclear weapons, that's bad news for Israel and bad news for the whole world, basically. And so he stood up. And this is what he said in front of the US Congress. He said, we're an ancient people. But by the way, you want to see a bold speaker, you watch Netanyahu speak. A very smart, intelligent man, a former army man. You don't mess with Netanyahu. He is a bold man of God. What a great leader. Netanyahu said, we're an ancient people. In our nearly 4,000 years of history, many have tried repeatedly to destroy the Jewish people. Tomorrow night on the Jewish holiday of Purim, we'll read the book of Esther. We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Haman who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. But a courageous woman, Queen Esther, exposed the plot and gave for the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemies. The plot was foiled and our people were saved. And then he closed his speech with this. He said, facing me right up there in the gallery, overlooking all of us in this chamber, is the image of Moses. Moses led our people from slavery to the gates of the promised land. And before the people of Israel entered the land of Israel, Moses gave us a message that he has steeled our resolve for thousands of years. I leave with you this message today. Be strong and resolute. Neither fear nor dread them. My friends, Israel and America, always may they always stand together, strong and resolute. May we neither fear nor dread the challenges ahead. May we face the future with confidence, strength, and hope. May God bless the state of Israel and may God bless the United States of America. What a powerful, powerful word to share before the US Congress. Now, we worship the same God. The same God that led Moses. The same God that led Queen Esther. We worship the same God. Moses was strong and courageous. Esther was strong and courageous. Daniel, Joshua, Peter, James, Paul, strong and courageous. Billy Graham, strong and courageous. John Wimber, Martin Luther, Brian Houston, Phil Pringle, Christine Richards, Cecily Wilson, Verena, every single person here in this room, we are called to be the next generation to take the baton, to be strong and courageous. But it's got to start on our knees. It's got to start in the upper room. It's got to start receiving power from on high. It's got to start in the secret place where we're praying and say, God, grant me boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders and miracles. Let's pray that like crazy people all week this week. And let's see what God does next. Let's see what God does next. We're up to Acts chapter 4 now because I keep getting fired up about every little verse in Acts that I read. I encourage you to read through the book of Acts and get fired up with the stories they saw. Acts finishes at Acts chapter 28, and we're going to get to there someday. I don't know when, but we'll get there eventually. But we are Acts 29. The book of Acts is one of the only books in the New Testament that I know of that doesn't finish with, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you, amen. It doesn't close off with an easy ending because we are the ending. We are the same people. We are ordinary and unschooled men, just like Peter and John that we read in the text before. There ain't nothing special about us, but we have a special God who has a plan and a purpose for us. Will you be bold with the message that God has entrusted to us? You know, one of the inspiring things yesterday that Teresa said at the Rally for Life, she said there's something like, I don't know, 100,000 babies have been aborted in our nation. He said, we're going to see a change in that. We're going to see young women choosing life. We're going to pray for it. We're going to go and educate them in their schools. We're going to speak out for life. And she said, the devil is not going to take any more babies. And she said, not on my watch. Not on my watch. We are the ones entrusted with the gospel in 2015. This is our watch. This is our time to carry the same gospel that Peter and John were carrying 2,000 years ago. Jesus gave them the Great Commission and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these signs will accompany those that believe. They will speak in new tongues. They will cast out demons. They will raise the dead. They will go into all the world and preach the gospel. They will plant churches. They will do amazing things. They will care for the poor. They will worship. They will pray. Those 12 ordinary unschooled men changed the world in the book of Acts. And it's been happening for 2,000 years. Somehow we've gone off mission. Somehow we've been sidetracked. Somehow we've been caught up with the religiosity and the business of church. Let's not get distracted with the same stuff that many other Christians get distracted with. Let's get back to the Word of God. Let's get on our knees and let's pray for revival. Let's all get on our knees and close with some prayer and some worship right now. I want everybody to get on their knees if they can, or at least lean forward if they can't. I believe we need to start with humility before God. We need to start with repentance. And God, we want to confess that we've been worldly, we've been lukewarm, we've been cursed to be average in the spirit of the age. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you broke that curse, that you are stirring up the hearts of your people to be a people of fire, to be burning ones. Lord, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood in that fire, you were with them in the fire. They were bold and willing to stand up for their God, no matter what the world was doing. God, may we have that same boldness. God, give us the boldness of Joshua, the boldness of Esther, the boldness of Daniel and David, Peter, James, and John. Give us boldness. Give us the boldness of Jesus. Lord, you live inside us. Lord, forgive us for quenching your Holy Spirit. Forgive us for being distracted and getting off mission. We don't want to follow some shadow mission. We don't want to follow something the world wants us to do, or our family wants us to do, or to be pressured into being something that is of the flesh, Lord God. May we be a people of the Spirit. May we function in the gifts of the Spirit and bear the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, grant us boldness to preach your word. Stretch out your hand and perform signs and wonders and miracles among us, Lord God. Forgive us. And Lord, we die to ourselves today. We empty ourselves so that you would fill us again. Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Just ask, say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Holy Spirit, fill me today. Holy Spirit, come. With every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to firstly ask if you want to give your heart to Jesus today. If you're here today and you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, it's the most important decision you can make, the most eternal decision you can make. Your destiny can be changed from hell to heaven if you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins. With every eye closed and every head bowed, if you want to give your heart to Jesus right now, just put up your hand and I'll pray for you today. Is there anyone here that wants to give their heart to Jesus today for the first time? Just put up your hand if that's you. Good on you, mate. I see that, buddy. That's awesome. Is there anyone else who wants to give their heart to Jesus today? I'll pray for you in a minute, mate. Just wait there. That's awesome. Second question I want to ask today. Do you want boldness? Do you want boldness?
Yes.
Let's stand to our feet. If you want boldness, I want you to come out the front. We're going to lay hands on you today. We're going to see the Holy Spirit come in power. Does anyone have some oil here? Is Linda Allen here with some oil? Cecily's got some oil. I'm going to splash around a bit of oil today. You want to share something yet? Doug's got a word on his heart to share. Everyone, go for it, mate.
So, I love in the Bible that Adam used to walk with God. Abraham would walk with God. And I took that every morning. I walk with God. And yesterday, about 5 o'clock, I was on the summit. And I had a really tough week. And I was really praying. And I was focusing on my troubles, and my heart grew really heavy and really hot. And then, you know, something shifted, and he told me, put me in the center, put Jesus Christ in the center. And then I started praying for others and taking myself out of there. And the weight and the burning lifted, and just filled me with the love beyond belief. And it was funny, I was talking to my mom, sharing this with her later on, and it was, I said, you know, today was a really great experience. God just filled my love tank so that I can share it with others. And I told her I must be doing something right, because I've been called crazy 3 times this week. So God bless y'all.
Awesome, mate. Thank you, buddy. Bless you. I'm going to get my gorgeous wife to pray as well for people today. We're going to anoint you with oil. We're going to believe for the Holy Spirit to come and anoint you to be bold this week, to be crazy this week, to be on fire. I can just have Daniel just come and just get ready to pray behind. Is that all right? Thanks, mate. And Nigel, do you want to come behind Carol? Is that all right? Father God, we just pray that as we anoint with oil today, that your Holy Spirit will come. Give them boldness. Holy Spirit, come. Let your fire burn in their hearts today. Holy Spirit, come. Bev, I anoint you and commission you for boldness. Holy Spirit, come and fill her afresh today. Give her your fire, Lord God. Fan it aflame, the gifts you've given her. Lord, anoint Verena right now. Holy Spirit, come. Give her boldness. Boldness, Lord God. The righteous are as bold as a lion. I pray for boldness in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. The Lord's been teaching you lessons, Janet, about stepping out in the normal Christian life He's been giving you opportunities and doors. And you've been faithful in the small things. And God is now going to bless you with greater things. He's going to give you a new platform. He's going to give you a new arena, a new realm to speak into. Be ready to walk through it, the Lord says. Heavenly Father, I just anoint Cecily with oil right now. The oil of the Holy Spirit. Give her boldness right now in the name of Jesus. Signs and wonders and miracles. Father, I just anoint Chris right now with oil. Holy Spirit, fill him afresh today. Release your gifts in him more and more. Fan into flame the gifts you've given him. Holy Spirit, come. Just anoint Sherry right now with oil. Give her boldness, Lord. Boldness to walk into the calling you've placed in her life. Boldness as an intercessor. Boldness to speak the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, just pray for Karina right now. Give her boldness. Holy Spirit, come. Give her boldness in the name of Jesus. Let your fire burn within her. Set her free from the enemy in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Give her boldness. Thank you, Father, for my brother, Lord God. I just met him today, but I can see the Shekinah glory of the Lord on him already. I can see his heart for God, his heart to reach out to many. Grant him boldness, I pray. Bold as a lion, I pray, in the name of Jesus. My dear sister, Lord God, I just anoint you with oil right now in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come and give her fire, fire in her bones to release the word of the Lord. Holy Spirit, I just anoint Jeff right now. Lord God, I see that he's being revived. He's been revived. He was a bit shy, a bit held back, a bit unsure. But Lord, just recently the fire's come on him and he's a crazy man now. Crazy for you, Lord Jesus. Bold for you. Holy Spirit, just fill him right now with the fire. Fan into flame the gifts you've given him. Thank you, Lord, for my brother. Is it Rob? Bless Rob. Lord Jesus, you brought him back here today after a couple of months. And he's hungry for change. He's hungry to be set free from addiction. I break the curse of that addiction off his life. Set him free in the name of Jesus. Set him free in the name of Jesus. The Lord is going to show you how to turn from that temptation. He's giving you authority to say no and to turn like a bold man. Release that boldness in him, Lord God. Thank you for Linda Allen, Lord God. Though she may be small of stature, she is a giant on the inside, a mighty woman of faith on the inside. Lord, fan into flame the gifts you've given her. Let her see more healings, more wonders, more miracles than ever before. I anoint her for boldness in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the anointing. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Boldness in the name of Jesus. Fresh, fresh, fresh fire. Let it burn on her right now in the name of Jesus. The Lord is giving you that anointing of Esther. Just keep having the name Esther come to me. You're going to stand up. Stand up. Stand up, woman of God. Stand up, woman of God. Speak the truth. You'll see many set free as you speak the truth. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Tony, Lord God. I anoint him for boldness today in the name of Jesus. Let your fire burn in him today. Lord God, he's been faithful with the calling. He's been faithful. Oh God, you love him. You love him so much. God, every teardrop he's cried, you're holding the palm of your hand. Just come and anoint him with fresh oil today. In the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.